All right. So let's talk about, we started to talk about the heart of quantum linguistics. Let's go a little bit deeper into the heart of them. The first thing that we're going to talk about is Cartesian logic. Cartesian logic are four simple patterns that reshape your thinking in a multidimensional way as well as your language in a multidimensional way. We're also going to talk about predicate calculus from symbolic logic. Those are the predicates that's kind of like the glue that holds your language together, and it's the glue that holds your quantum linguistic patterns together as well. The hierarchy of ideas, of course, that we touched on. The hierarchy of ideas is your ability to chunk from specifics to specifics and details to big picture, both in your thinking and also in your language. So here we go. Cartesian logic. Cartesian logic simply says that in order for a problem to prove true, it has to prove true in all four quadrants. The theorem, the inverse, the converse, and the non-mirror image reverse. So in order for a problem to prove true, it has to prove true in all four quadrants. Theorem, inverse, converse, and non-mirror image reverse. So if the theorem were the sentence, what would happen if you did? That's AB. By the way, normally there would be an equal sign between that for Cartesian logic fans. There would be an equal sign between the A and the B. We'd say A equals B, but we're taking the equal sign out for our purposes, just to simplify things. So if the theorem was AB, what would happen if you did in this case? Then the inverse would be A not B, or what would happen if you didn't? The converse would be not A, B, or what wouldn't happen if you did. And the non-mirror image reverse would be not A, not B, or what wouldn't happen if you didn't. Okay? So what we're doing is, now these questions may look familiar to you. What would happen if you did? What would happen if you didn't? What wouldn't happen if you did? What wouldn't happen if you didn't? Were the final four questions of the keys to achievable outcome that we shared with you in our practitioner NLP practitioner training. Our NLP practitioner training, we shared those with you, but we didn't tell you what was really happening there. What these questions do is they get people to think outside of the box of the problem, to think circles around the problem. By the way, if you can train your thinking like this, if you could run everything that you think about or every problem that you're dealt with, if you can run it through the Cartesian coordinates, you'll be able to think circles around the people that you're working with. You'll be able to think circles around the problems that they give you. Now, this isn't magic. It's just the Cartesian coordinates. But it does. You can produce some magical results by thinking this way. Yeah. So give me, you were asking for an example, Ananda? An example of to think this way, like somebody gives you a problem, and they say, just this right here. What would happen if you did? Somebody says, okay, the presenting problem is that let's say somebody's taking care of their family, and they don't feel that they can live their life's purpose because they've got to stay home and take charge and take control of the parents who are ill or something like that. So they say, I couldn't go out on my own. And you say, what would happen if you did? Now you're getting them to think in a way, like if I not being able to go out on their own is their problem, that's the chair. And you say, what would happen if you did? Their thoughts are going to go over here into the not problem, into the area wherein the solution may lie. So they're stuck in the box and you're helping them to think outside the box. You say, what would happen if you did? They say, well, blah, 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 and they start talking about what's over here that's not problem. Then you say, what would happen if you didn't? They're going to go back inside here. If you say, what wouldn't happen if you did? They have to think back out here about what wouldn't happen for them then. And then you say, if what wouldn't happen if you didn't, what you're doing is you're stretching their thoughts beyond the boundary conditions of their box that they've thought themselves into.
So you go...
This is just one possible.
Can you go any direction?
Oh, yeah, you could go any direction. In fact, with our quantum linguistics patterns, you are going to eventually use this in conjunction with many different things. This is just part of the construction of that. Now, by the way, you can run lots of different things through the Cartesian logic. If you say, for example, I see the chair, if that's the theorem, I see, by the way, we can do this with any two-part statement. I see the chair. That's a two-part statement, just like what would happen if you did, right? So if you say, I see the chair, if that was the theorem, what's the inverse?
I don't see the chair.
Actually, I see the
not chair.
So if the theorem is I see the chair, the inverse would be I see the not chair. Now remember, in order for a problem to prove true, it has to prove true in all four quadrants. Is that true? I see the chair, is that true?
Uh-huh.
Is I see the not chair true? Okay, because everything else is not chair, right? The converse, not I see the chair. That would be the converse, not I see the chair. Is that true?
Not I.
Yes.
Not I. That would be everybody else or everything else sees the chair. Not I sees the chair. That's true. Not I see the not chair. Is that true?
Not
I see the not chair. Yeah, that's true too. So that can prove true in all four quadrants. The challenge that I would give for you, if you want some homework or if you want to challenge yourself, would be to constantly run everything you think through this pattern if you really want to play a game and have some fun.
I really do.
Yeah. So you say, oh, Chris is writing on the flip chart. Okay. What would be, if that was the theorem, what's the inverse?
Chris is writing on the not
flip chart, and that's true when I'm taking notes and stuff. What would be the converse? Not Chris is writing on the flip chart. Did you help that bird off? Not Chris is writing on the flip chart. That would be like if somebody else was. And the non-mirror image of yours would be not Chris is writing on the not flip chart, which is true. You guys are all writing on your pads and stuff. Yeah? So you could just run everything through you that you think through these four patterns just to stretch your thinking in multidimensional ways. That's okay. You're right where you're supposed to be. Remember, you're always going to have to proceed with insufficient knowledge. So we're just looking at Cartesian coordinates.
No, I want to use that one about you and the flip chart so that I can... Yeah, let's language. Chris, can we write those languages?
I guarantee you will not understand everything before we proceed from step to step.
No,
but I'll go over that one more time. Yeah.
I just want to write down... Okay.
Remember, we're learning in an inductive way. And inductive learning can oftentimes be interesting. Sure. That's actually the non-mirror image reverse. Not Chris is writing on the not flip chart.
Not Chris.
On the not flip chart. That's like a not, not. Not, not.
No, two negatives. Nothing.
Possibly, or it could expand you in thinking in a different way. Yeah.
Then the inverse would be what?
The inverse is Chris is writing on the not flip chart.
Oh, the inverse is Chris is...
Oh, yeah. Did I say the wrong thing?
You said
not. Okay. Yeah. The inverse is Chris is writing on the not flip chart. Or Chris is writing on not the flip chart. Chris is writing on not the flip chart.
Chris is writing on not.
It's the inverse, right?
That's the inverse.
Chris is
writing on not the flip chart.
Not the flip chart.
Mm-hmm.
And the non-mirror is not Chris.
No, and then we got to do the converse.
Yeah.
Converse is the one that Ananda said earlier. Converse is... Not the converse is not Chris is writing on the flip chart.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Was just Chris is writing on the flip chart.
Yeah, and then what's the non-mirror image reverse?
Writing on the not flip chart.
Uh-huh. Not Chris is writing on the not flip chart.
Okay, so now can you give me an example of how you problem?
Yeah.
What's the problem? Give me a problem.
I got a problem. What's it with no decision?
Right. So what would happen if you did make a decision? Mm-hmm. And what would happen if you didn't?
Then I would just waste time.
Mm-hmm. What wouldn't happen if you did? That's right.
Wouldn't happen if I did make a decision. I wouldn't waste time.
Mm-hmm. What wouldn't happen if you didn't?
I wouldn't get to a decision if I didn't.
Okay.
I wouldn't make a mistake if I didn't.
Now what we're doing, I wouldn't make a mistake. Now that's going to give us some information.
Yeah, because that's what she said. She's afraid to make a mistake.
Yeah, so what that does in that case is it gives us more information about the problem. It also gives us the boundary conditions of the problem. We begin to define those things. So that's one way you could use the what would happen if you did patterns, although that's clearly not the only way to use the Cartesian logic. Cartesian logic, and by the way, you won't get how to use it until we give you the other couple of pieces beyond that, because you need the pieces to put it together. The problem is that you're learning in an inductive way and you're attempting to have the whole picture yet, but you don't have the whole picture. You have one piece of the necessary pieces to make the whole picture. Ah. No, this is only if you use those questions. If you use what would happen if you did, what would happen if you didn't, what wouldn't happen if you did, what wouldn't happen if you didn't.